Goodness, it's wonderful to be here today. It's wonderful to have children here today. It's even more marvelous, I think, sometimes to have adults, so we have some of those as well. Before I began, I'd like to comment. Last week, did everybody, were you up here last week? We had a marvelous talk about emotions and how you know that God's talking about. Before you go into my little spiel, I want to tell you that God does that with grown-ups too. It's not just children. And I thought it was a marvelous concept the man talked about. But when I do something wrong, I think God goes to me. I can feel that sometimes. And I think when I do something right, not because I want to do something right or want to be more close to God, but when I just do something right, God smiles at me. So I thought those same emotions that we see as adults doing with kids and kids doing with kids and all those sharing things that man talked about, that's the way God works too. He does appreciate. He does show emotions. He does elate when we do great. And when we don't do so good, I think he just goes, I try so hard. So we need to try so hard to get something. But I'm here to talk about a whole different story. I want to talk about hobbies. And I don't know if any of you have hobbies. I have two or three different hobbies. One of my favorite ones is to go gold mining. I love to go out in the wilderness and looking for gold. And now it's not an easy project, but I'm going to get some of the tools of the trade. If I can, I'll have to. Careful things don't fall on you, ladies. Number one, there's a whole lot of things you have to have. It costs a lot more to find gold than you'll ever make back in gold. You have to think it's a hobby. If you think you're going to make money, you've made a terrible mistake. But let me get these things out and show you all the things I take when I go. And a lot of them for other reasons than finding gold. It's not as easy as you might think. I have to load up my backpack with all this stuff. And usually I walk into the woods about 3 miles because I know where the gold is. That doesn't mean I bring any gold out. It just knows. So one thing nice about it is, if I didn't find any where it is, it's still there. So I'll go back there again later. But some of the most important things I want to share about gold finding and walking through the woods isn't just looking for gold, because gold is worth $1,200 an ounce. That's a cool thing. But you have to take a lot of things to go gold finding. And I take this when I gold find. This doesn't help find gold. But you have to be very cautious when you go to find gold, because there are critters around that would rather find me. So this is what I use for protection. I don't carry a gun. If I do, I'd probably hurt myself. But what I do is I carry this, and it's worked. This is a real good bear deterrent. They hate it when I do this. So you have to be very safety conscious when you go out there. Also, you have to have a whistle, because that also scares other creatures. It also might help locate you if you're lost. Someone else might hear it, and that could help. And so on that whistle, there's a little compass, because I also need that to find where I'm going. I haven't even talked about gold yet, and already I'm worried about my own safety. You know, it's so good to be concerned about your own safety. What more do we have? I carry a light, because lots of times when I go looking for gold in the morning, I get so excited that I didn't find any that I stay there a lot longer than I thought I should. And so I have to have a light to come back out. It's not just gold. As I go into the forest, I take this ribbon with me. And about every half a mile, I put a ribbon on a piece of tree. So I know when I come back out, I'm going to find those same ribbons. I also scratch something in the dirt, like a line, that I went that way. So I'll know I came from that direction. Another safety issue. It's not just finding gold. You have to be cautious finding gold. This is actually a gold-finding tool. You take the little cracks where all the rocks come together, and you scratch between those cracks, and you work around the edge of those rocks, and it loosens up. Little bitty gold will come down to the river to you. So I have to have one of these. These are for bigger rocks, because gold hides in rocks sometimes. So what you do is you have to really bang on those rocks with a special little hammer to break them up so you can work them out to see where the gold is. So I had to have one, and I'm carrying them in this backpack. yeah, I always take this too. It has nothing to do with gold, but obviously if you're going to be out there for a long time, you may get hungry. And this is a real easy thing to carry. So that's, I always take a jar of peanut butter when I go. What else do we have in here? This is called a drinking straw. You put one into this into the river, and if the river's all yucky and muddy and nasty and you're thirsty, you can suck on the other end of that like a straw, and it has a filter in it, and it'll clean the water so you can drink right out of the creek and get perfectly good water. You have to have a little buck, a little bottle like this to put your gold in, if you find any. As you'll notice, there's none in my little bottle. And obviously, you have to have one of these to carry everything. You have to have a map to kind of know where you're going. You have to have a GPS. This is the thing that tells you where you are in the wilderness. Now, it only locates where you are in the wilderness. So this, together with a map, together with a compass, is of value. It will tell you things that are a little unique. You're walking out there and you think there's nothing, and all of a sudden this will say, large rock pile to your left. How does it know? It doesn't really talk to me, but it shows it to me. It shows me fancy mountains. So I can look at my map and say, oh, that's Mount McLaughlin. It says, you're 140 feet from Mount McLaughlin, or you're right there. This is an example of gold. Go ahead and pass it around. Gold is worth about $1,200 an ounce. So that gold, if it was gold, would be worth about $5,000. That's about $5,000 worth of what it would be worth if it was gold. You could clearly see that wasn't mine. Okay. The final way to, well, I usually start working with this. And this is the sluice box or sluice box. And what you do is you put this in line with the river, the way the river's flowing. So the river would be coming downhill. And you shovel dirt in up here, and as the water goes through the box, all of the heavier rocks, of which gold is the heaviest rock in the river, will settle onto that little rug underneath there. And then later on, you take that rug, where all the gold is, yeah. And you take that water, and you take a little water and a little of that, and everything they can on that rug, and you pan it out. You add water in here, and your dirt there, and you work it down until you finally get your gold. Here, if you get a big piece of gold, which hasn't been a real problem for me so far, these would sift out all of the additional things, or all the small products, and leave you the larger products behind. So these are called classifiers, because that's how they do gold. They call it classifying gold by its size. So you work your gold through these. So I want you to know that when you go out in the woods to look for gold, it's important, A, to know where it's at, B, to know how to get there, and C, to be very cautious and take all these things so you can get back, because being out there can be tough. I always take a shovel, because I'm working with this, and this is to move bigger rocks out of the way. So there's a lot of things you have to have. The one thing about gold, as I said, it's worth about $1,200 an ounce. And you would think that would be the most wonderful thing in the world to have. But I'd like to have Margie explain how that's not necessarily the most wonderful thing. So if we can bring Margie forward, she's going to tell you something much better than gold.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands. hands than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
See, that Jesus is something you've got all the time. You don't have to go out running through the woods to look for him. You don't have to work real hard trying to find him. You don't have to sort him out. You don't have to look under rocks. You don't have to worry about safety. Jesus is much greater than the gold I'm looking for. That's the gold we want to have. As long as we're here, as we go back to our seats, two things are going to happen. I know that if I give children candy, I'll get in trouble with your parents. It usually doesn't intimidate me at all. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give each one of you a candy that looks like a little block of gold, but it's candy. But you can't have it. Why? Did that child say why? What I want you to do is to share this with that person that brought you to church today, whether it be your mom, dad, grandma, and grandpa, whoever drove in. So it's a marvelous thing to have a little piece of candy, but it's much nicer to give it away. At that same time, I have three gentlemen out in the audience who are going to come forward, and I'm going to give them all a handful of little calling cards, which are really prayers, and I found out that this was a shortcoming of mine. I've had these for months on end, a year. And I just kept them. And they're marvelous prayers. And I need to share them. But it's just like everything else. I guess I got a little prideful and said, these are mine. And they shouldn't be mine. They should be yours. So those folks would come forward, and I'm going to give each one of your children a little candy. And you're going to give that candy to the person who brought you to church.